Welcome to Lead Time Chats, where you can listen in on unscripted conversations between leaders in tech to help you make remote teamwork a little bit less challenging. I'm Jean, and I'll be your host. Lead Time Chats is brought to you by Range. Range helps remote teams work better together with asynchronous check-ins, integrated team building, fewer and more effective meetings, and easy goal tracking. When you run your team with Range, you'll always know what's going on without having to be in back-to-back meetings. To learn more about Range, you can check it out at range.co. Hi, Susan. So excited to have you here on Lead Time Chats today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to talk with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, and I am very excited about the juicy topic we have today, which is really how do you navigate conflict on distributed teams? And I know you're an experienced leadership consultant and executive coach, so I'm sure you've been hearing a lot from different people in different companies of how conflict is arising, how is it different? So I guess maybe to start us off, you know, what have you been hearing or observing on teams?
Yeah, it's super interesting. So when in the pandemic, I think about like there was a change in things when the pandemic started and we all suddenly went remote. Almost everybody was 100% remote at that point. And I noticed a big change. It's not like I was surprised, but I also wasn't looking for a change in conflict necessarily. It wasn't something I thought, oh, there's going to be conflict is going to change. But what I noticed was instead of we might think of conflict as like hot conflict where we're like at each other's throats or like, it's obvious, or open conflict where like, ooh, those two do not get along. What I noticed was more conflict avoidance. So that like part of what happened was our established patterns began to break down. And, you know, so for example, I've talked to leaders and what I noticed happening was issues were lingering longer and longer and longer and longer. So issues of we're disagreeing, performance issues, which I know we don't like to talk about that, but they happen. Yeah. And what I noticed was, you know, like, well, so what happened? Why is this issue really lingering? And I think a lot of it was because some of the things broke down, right? Some of their normal habits. So someone said to me, well, you know, when I had to have a hard conversation, what would happen is I would just go say, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee. And then as we're grabbing our coffee and we're walking, we're going to have a conversation and just having a cup of coffee and something to sip on and to walk and make it casual made it less stressful.
Yeah. You know? And you're walking side by side. You're not just like staring at each other over Zoom, right? Like, well, why'd you call this meeting? Right. Like, let's get to it.
Right. Like, can we talk the dreaded words, right? Like we need to have a conversation. You're like, what? And God forbid it's on a Friday, you know, it's like strikes fear into our hearts. So I think that really changed a lot of people. Also, I noticed my folks who were already remote, let's say they were already distributed. And let's say maybe there was like an HQ, right? There was a headquarters. They were no longer able to travel to it. And they realized how much even once a quarter, how much that really built those relationships. So there was a lot more trust in those relationships and hard conversations were much harder when they didn't have those, when they felt like the ties were loosening.
Yeah. I think you're speaking to something really important, which is like, it's not just about how do you have this conversation that is uncomfortable and touches on conflict. It's like, how do you do the initial kind of building of the foundation of a high trust relationship so that you can have those conversations? And it's not like, you know, can we talk is like, oh no, something's wrong, right? Like
something's that terribly
you're talking
wrong
regularly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, you know, it is a lot about that trust. Plus then what's happened is, I mean, you know, the great resignation, right? Mm-hmm. So the great resignation, lots of people have left, which also means lots of new people have come in and we have not, maybe like now things are changing, but in the last 2 years, we haven't met people in person at all. So it's easier in a way to sort of, we don't have that trust with people. The ties are looser. We don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know how that conversation's going to go, right?
Right.
How is that conversation going to go?
Right. With someone you've been working with for a few years, you kind of have, you know, you've kind of adjusted to how each other communicate. And when you're talking about performance too, one thought that that came up for me was like, it's also, I mean, remote aside, I think it's also just been a particularly difficult time to have those conversations because, you know, people have like, not so much anymore, but like earlier in the pandemic, you know, I had like kids distance learning, like at home, and, you know, people were just, almost everyone I knew was struggling with like burnout, with like life stuff, anxiety, right? Like mental health. And like, it feels like, you know, as a manager, it feels, I don't know what is appropriate here, right? Like how much slack, what are the expectations, right? Like that sort of conflict of like, are people meeting expectations? Like, well, we're in a pandemic for the first time in our lives. Like, should they even be meeting expectations, right? Like, what are the expectations?
Well, right. And at what point do we say, oh, this is actually a problem, you know, and I, you know, how much slack do we give? How much do we not give? I think it's a huge issue in a pandemic when we aren't face to face. And I think companies are going to be facing this continually too, because I mean, some companies are going back, but not everyone will. I think we'll see many more companies being remote. I'm not sure, you know, I wonder what you think. Do you think that that's true too, or do you have a different perspective?
You know, it kind of went back and forth. Like towards the beginning, I was like, oh, you know, everyone's going to be remote. And then now it seems like a lot of companies are going back in office. But I think what is true is that people who want to work remote will be able to find remote jobs. People who want to work in office will be able to find in office jobs, whereas before, you know, people who wanted to work remote, it felt like, okay, there's like these five companies and like, you know, whether or not they're hiring depends on, you know, time of year or whatever, but it just felt like there weren't as many options to choose from. But now I feel like there's a ton.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think two more hybrid situations too, where people are in office sometimes at home. Yeah.
I've noticed people moving, like, you know, people willing to make a, you know, longer commute if they're only having to be in office 2 days a week rather than like 5 days, right? Like, and I could see, I definitely would not want to go back to working 5 days in office and commuting, you know, an hour each way, but 2 days is like, not so bad. But yeah. So in terms of conflict, you talked about like, it was not so much the kind of like, you know, hard butting, like, you know, intense conflict that you're seeing, but it's more conflict avoidance around like performance or, you know, disagreement. What other sorts of conflict have you seen show up?
Well, and even it's even not just, you know, I want to make sure it's not just about performance, but it's like, as a team, sometimes we end up having like pleasant conversation and we're not really digging down into, you know, how do we disagree with each other and how do we disagree so we can surface our assumptions? So we can, you know, surface where do we disagree? What's the right decision? What are the different opinions around it? So it's not even just around performance, but we're just having pleasant conversations, I think, because we're not sure maybe how to disagree with each other, you know, and we're getting more conflict avoidant again, pardon me, partially because of those looser ties and maybe we're like, how do I have conflict when I'm almost only over Zoom?
Yeah, because I can imagine in an in-person office, right, you might get in a conference room, go deep on some topic, have some disagreements, and then afterwards you still see the people and you can kind of get a gauge of like, hey, are we okay? You know, like you kind of get that,
right.
Like, that right. Casual, hey, want some coffee? Sense of like, oh, hey, you know, like, oh, this person's not like really upset at me because we had this conversation. Like we're still in a good place. And I think on Zoom, it's a little bit harder because then you leave the meeting and then your only really synchronous interactions tend to be in these really structured, well, I guess hopefully structured depending on your company, right? Like these meetings where you're talking about work. And so, yeah, I'm curious if you found with people you work with have found ways to like build maybe more casual interactions or build some of that layer throughout.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important too, because it's like what we get to is like artificial harmony, right? Yeah. And artificial harmony is terrible for us. So how do we get around artificial harmony so we can dig down into it? And I think part of it, Part of it is, honestly, it's something that I take from coaching, which is designing the relationship. So how are we talking with each other about things? Okay, so I call it talking about the talking. Like, so how do you feel about conflict? What happens when conflict shows up? What happens when we disagree? How do you tend to handle that? How here's how I handle that. Being much more conscious about our relationship and how we interact with each other, and not just the goals that have to get done, not just the objectives. Like, well, how should we handle it when we disagree? You know, how do we want to handle mistakes? How do you best like to be supported? And I think we can also do these at the team level too. The team can talk about, how do we handle it when we disagree? What's the way that we're going to process that? What's the way that we're going to handle mistakes? Because I think what happens is we think conflict is bad a lot of times. I say the word conflict and everyone's like, I said it a couple of weeks ago at Lead Dev. I was doing, you know, did two workshops for leaders there. And when I said the word conflict, you could just feel the room contract. And I think that's actually part of like the roadblock, right? Yeah. That contraction, even I'm doing it myself as I feel that word. It's like, I think we also have to normalize that disagreement is normal. Disagreement is okay. In any relationship, we're going to disagree. You and I are in relationship right now as we talk. We may or may not agree on things. That's okay. It's like, how do we want to be with disagreement and knowing that it's part of the relationship? It's like how we handle it that matters more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what you're talking about, it makes me think that like maybe the remote and the Zoom, you know, Zoom meetings and the remote team setup makes it easier for people who are maybe naturally a bit more conflict avoidant to not have the hard conversations. And so it sounds like, I mean, I could imagine, you know, when something comes up, say we're in a meeting, we disagree, you know, even in that moment, if we haven't had any conversations beforehand about how we want to handle conflict, you know, one of us could be like, hey, this is great. Like, it's good. So good. We're having this conversation right now. How do we want to handle when we disagree? Right. You could kind of zoom out at that point and have that conversation, but you could also, right, as you were saying, design it up front, right? Like with the people you're managing or people that you're working with, of like, you know, especially with around giving feedback. Like I've told people, like, you know, how do they like to receive feedback? And we've had agreements of like, great. Like I won't hold back any feedback, right? Like, as soon as I know something, I have some feedback to give you, like my intention is to share it with you as soon as possible. And people have been like, great. Like, that's so good to know. Right. Like then you just don't know that the other person's not like holding on to something and like avoiding this uncomfortable conversation. And I know that they want it, right. Like you kind of have the agreement up front before the conflict, but either way I could see going, like you could take either approach if you haven't had that conversation beforehand.
Well, right. Cause what happens is it gets really awkward and we're like, do I say it? Do I not say it? And then how much energy does that take in your head? Mm-hmm. And when we're avoiding conflict or we're being nice, I'm just going to be nice and agree. And by the way, people who typically start conflict might also be pulling themselves back, and not, I shouldn't even say start conflict, but surface contact. Like they surface the conflict so that we can begin to address them. But I think what happens is when we sort of recede away from it, we end up having the conflict in our head, you know, and how much energy does that take? And then, by the way, eventually, if we have the conflict in our head over and over and over again, where we're giving slack and we're just talking about it inside our head because we're trying to play nice because we're on Zoom and we don't really know, and is there time to disagree and there's goals. Eventually what happens is we can't hold on to it anymore. And maybe we do lash out at people.
Yeah. So, yeah, like really weighs you down over time. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking like, maybe what we could do is think of some tips for how to, cause I feel like people you kind of feel when you have something that's unsaid, right? But I think people don't necessarily know how to get into it. And when you were saying like, oh, it feels really awkward, I was just thinking, that's something you can say, right? Like, hey, I feel like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit awkward because I need to talk to you about something. And like, you know, are you open to having the conversation or hearing some feedback? And like, because they can tell you're being awkward, whether or not you say it. everyone can tell, right? And so even just like naming what's there can be really helpful. I'm curious if you have any other like tips for entering, you know, conflict or, you know, just having conversations that you know need to be had.
Yeah, like I always think about them as like hard conversations. Like, and it's hard. Why is it hard? For a variety of reasons. And sometimes it's hard because we feel uncomfortable. And I love, by the way, naming it is such a powerful thing. Just name, I feel awkward. I'm feeling vulnerable. This, I don't know what to say, can sometimes be so wonderful because it helps make us be human. And, and that can remind us, oh yes, we're human, you know. I think, you know, one of the ways, this might sound funky, but one of the ways to enter it is to think about managing our own emotions. Like, how are we managing our emotions when it comes to conflict, right? Again, it goes back to that emotional response that we all have. And, you know, people talk about fight, flight, or freeze, but there's also fawn, right? So fawn, I don't know if you know, it's one of the ones I've more recently talked about, but fawn is like where, let's say, if we get into conflict, I might try to please the other person and, oh, I'll take responsibility at all or apologize. Oh, like, you know, one down. I used to be a freezer and a fawner. I know these things. So like, but I recognized, oh, so am I, you know, I think part of it is recognizing when it feels awkward, when it feels like we might have open conflict licking at our heels, do we recognize what's happening inside of us? And do we think about, you know, managing our emotions and thinking about, I take this, what might be a different approach, you know? So it's like a lot of it is managing our emotions. Now, listen, that's hard because, I mean, a lot of people have wall-to-wall meetings, especially now that we're remote and on Zoom, people have wall-to-wall meetings. And so we have to find time and space to build in the reflection so that we can notice what's going on inside of ourselves.
I like the default reaction for a lot of people is like, ugh, conflict, uncomfortable, hard. Like, I don't want to be there. I want to avoid it. The reframing and the reflection of like, ooh, there's something juicy here. Like, I want to get curious about that so that, you know, like, cause if you sense some disagreement and you're about to embark on like a 2-month project, right? Like, that's great that you're sensing that there's disagreement because that needs to get hammered out like ASAP before
it shows the gap
in, right? Like, yeah. So right. seeing that internal, it's almost like a little, you know, a sensor you have inside of you that's like, ooh, like something's not aligned. And so seeing it as, I guess, more of a sensor, like that there's something there to be curious about and then figure out what to do with it.
Right. It's like, I always think of it as, yeah, it's like it's a mindset shift, right? It's a reframe on conflict is bad to, oh, what do I notice here? What's going on? And it, like, show us, here's the gap between where we are and how we're perceiving things. And like you said, getting to that earlier in the project, rather than we're far down the pipe and now we're really frustrated. And you ever been there when someone's like, I knew we shouldn't have done it this way. And you're like,
why didn't you say something?
Why am I hearing about this 2 months in? Right.
Right. Right.
How frustrating is that when we think, well, that's actually a great idea. I want to hear about that sooner.
Yeah. And not to say that you're going to be like thrilled to feel that, you know, right. Like, it's still going to be uncomfortable and like, oh, now I have to go have this conversation, but just not seeing it purely as, you know, something to avoid. But that's, I guess that example is more like, it's less personal. It's like, oh, maybe we have a disagreement about how an implementation should go or something like that. What about like when people on your team or people working with each other, their personalities or their like communication styles are clashing and there's conflict there. Have you found ways I guess those are things that feel like they could linger a bit more in a remote setting just because of the more limited like synchronous interactions. Any tips there?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really, God, I'm so sorry. Excuse me.
No problem.
Allergies. And I have a blooming tree right out in front of me. So, and it is blooming today. I think it's a really good point too, because we do, I think there's like reasons, like what are our reasons for conflict? And I think style is a really big one. And again, I sound like maybe like a broken record, but for me, when people, I'll hear people, I'm like, well, did you talk to them about that? Have you talked about how the two of you are disagreeing, rather than what do? We make them wrong, or like, ah, they're so mm-hmm. frustrating, they don't know how to do it. Or we call people incompetent sometimes yeah. when we don't agree with their style. They may or may not be incompetent, but often what I find is that we're not actually having the conversation between the two of us. So mm-hmm. many times when I hear people talk about that, it's always encouraging them to go back to talk to each other and have that real conversation. Like, hey, I think we might have different ways of going about this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that I know your way. Here's my way. Or I want to figure out how we can work through it together. Again, it's like being vulnerable and human. And again, not, I think what happens is we shy away from it. We don't want to talk about it, but it's like saying, naming the thing that's hit, yes. that's in the room, you know, it's the elephant. And we're like, the elephant is crowding us out, which is the thing that's unsaid. And now until we can barely interact with each other. And I think what happens again is we're having an argument in our head, and then we begin to make the other person wrong, or we make ourselves wrong. Yeah. And then we'd like try to change, but like changing the way that you interact and your style, your natural style, assuming it's in healthy expression, that's really hard. Yeah. So it is really about like, go right to it rather than going through. I think a lot of times we pick intermediaries, yes. you know, right? Like, let's just cut out the middle person.
Right, right. Yeah, the sense, I like when two people are in conflict, I feel like the sense of relief when someone names it and it's like, and not in a like, what you're doing, you're obviously doing this wrong, right? Like your communication style is wrong, but just like acknowledging that, like, I'm going about it this way, it seems like you're going about it this way. And these, I think this is where this like tension or conflict is coming from. Like, can we talk about that? Like, then you can actually talk about it instead of just like, you know, holding it and being resentful. But mm-hmm. in fact, I feel like what's easier for people is to complain, right? Complain to the intermediary. But then it's like, then that really tends to deteriorate trust. I mean, there are situations, of course, to bring in another person. But right. if you haven't tried to talk to each other first, I feel like then it's like, well, why didn't you talk to me? Right now you're like, now you're complaining to my manager, and now they, you know, who knows what you told them, and then people feel like they need to defend themselves, and that like, I think they've called it like the feedback triangle. It's like, no, big no, no, right? Like cut that other person out. And so as a manager to coach people to do, as you said, right? Like go to the person, talk about how you want to work together, what's important.
Well, right. Too. Cause I think about, I never noticed, she said, you know, we don't see things the way they are. We see them the way we are. And so when we go to an intermediary, we're giving a perspective about this. This is from ours, but it's not the truth. It's our mm-hmm. perspective. And there may be lots of different perspectives. And because we're in our fear, our frustration, you know, we can get dug in and miss other things and misattribute, like, oh, they mean bad. They're trying to hurt me. They're trying to control me, when in fact the other person might just trying to be a human, trying to figure out how to interact with someone who's really different. So I think that's another reason why going directly to the source is so yeah. important and can resolve it faster, to your point.
What are some, I know you coach a lot of leaders, like mm-hmm. I feel like teams kind of comfort with conflict and hard conversations kind of comes from the top. And so maybe to end, you know, is there a tip or, you know, any sort of tactical advice you would give to leaders about building a culture of like healthy conflict and disagreement?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's such a great point, because I agree. Leaders run that, no matter what, how much we want to have flat orgs, bottom up, all of that, leaders have an outside impact. It's just reality. I think the leader plays an incredibly important role, which is, how willing are you to be vulnerable, to say, oh, I made a mistake, or I was wrong? How much are you modeling that to other people, that, or that it's okay to disagree with me? You know, mm-hmm. it's okay in a meeting to say, I'm not sure I agree, or wow, I have a different perspective on that. And figuring out ways to invite that so that you can model it in the team right there, showing that you are a human too. And mm-hmm. that again, modeling disagreement, conflict, tension, it's all okay. It's that friction There's nothing wrong with that friction. It just means there's something underneath the surface we have to get to. But I do think modeling it and you being as open as you possibly can is really important way that you can create that culture. Or when you notice two people disagreeing, saying, I notice we disagree about this. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this as a group. Let's say you're in a team meeting. You could say, oh, I noticed there's emerging opinions here. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Rather than going to like, oh, someone's right or someone's wrong, or let's talk about that later. Let's take it offline, you know?
Like, ooh, uncomfortable. Take it offline.
Right. Yeah. How do we be with discomfort, right?
Yeah. I think, and as a leader too, I think it is important to model being, to acknowledge that you're imperfect, right? Your ideas are imperfect. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like someone comes and you're like, and they're like, I disagree. And you're like, great, I want to hear your idea. It could just be even like presenting stuff in progress and being like, you know, what am I missing? Right. Like sharing docs that have like, you know, a kind of rough broad strokes proposal, and then having space at the bottom is like, hey, what am I missing? You know, what came up for you that maybe this didn't address? Just like inviting that before it's like, you know, kind of like conflict, right? What people think of as like a disagreement or conflict.
Yeah, I'll often say to people, listen, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I don't think I have all the best ideas. I really want to hear from you and make my ideas better. It's just really, and saying those things over and over and over and over again, so that they really get the point that we're here to make things better. It's not about egos. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's about how do we work better together and how do we get to the best outcome?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I think this will be helpful for leaders and anyone who's really, you know, holding stuff that, you know, kind of shifting how they think about the stuff that they hold and how they interact with other people.
Yeah, thanks so much. I had such a great time.
Thanks for listening to Lead Time Chats. I'd love to hear your thoughts or feedback on the episode, so feel free to email me at jean@range.co. And if you're interested in trying out Range with your team, we'd love to offer you 2 months free. Just go to range.co and use promo code LeadTimeChats. Thanks again, and see you next time.